Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 will be our text. And we'll get there in just a couple of moments. I'd like to begin a story. Detective Rogers Sivanor is in charge of the juvenile crime unit in Ohio Police Department. He studied juvenile crime and juvenile behavior extensively. In a national magazine, he told this story. He said, "While on patrol early one morning on one of our main streets, I observed the railroad gates going down on one of the train crossings." Excuse me. "The lights were flashing and the bells were ringing. As I approached the gate, I saw a red Corvette approaching the crossing from the opposite direction. The vehicle stopped at the crossing and waited. I observed the front tires turn to the left, and with horror, I watched the vehicle begin to accelerate around the gate. The train was near the crossing, and the engineer blew his horn frantically as the car spun its tires over the tracks. The rear of the car just cleared the crossing as the train sped past. I performed a U-turn behind the Corvette as it passed me and turned on my overhead lights. The driver was a young girl with a male sitting next to her. When I walked up to the car, the young man leaned out of the window and said, 'It's my fault, officer. I told her to do it.' Although I really dislike the would you jump off the cliff analogy, in this case I used it. The man, obviously upset about the inconvenience of being detained on such a beautiful morning, argued with me and suggested that I should be looking for real criminals. The young lady quietly handed me her driver's license with tears in her eyes. It appeared that she was shaken a great deal by her close call with a large diesel locomotive. I went back to my cruiser and wrote the girl a ticket, motivated by not only the girl's reckless act, but also by the boyfriend's big mouth. When I handed the girl her ticket, she quietly thanked me and with tears in her eyes slowly drove away. It was almost 1 year later, while patrolling the city in the cruiser, that I received a radio call from dispatch to return to the station. There was a female in the lobby who wished to speak with me. When I walked into the lobby, I recognized the girl's face but could not remember where I had seen her. She asked me if I remembered her in her red Corvette with her loudmouth boyfriend. I immediately recalled the incident and wondered why this young lady had come back a year later to discuss her ticket. It was at that time that the girl's bottom lip began to tremble. She looked much more familiar as I saw the tears begin to well up in her eyes. She said, 'I just came to thank you for giving me that ticket a year ago.' She smiled when she saw the amazed look on my face. Very seldom did anyone thank me for a traffic ticket, much less 1 year after the fact. The girl continued, 'I just want you to know that I was sitting at the railroad crossing on Stearns Road yesterday.' Before she said another word, I knew what she was going to tell me. I knew the rest of her story." Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Thank God that we don't have to fear because God is with us. I want to talk to you today about how to conquer fear and develop courage. How to conquer fear and develop courage. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves, recognize the fears in our life, but then, Lord, have the grace and the power to be able to do something about those fears. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I would think that most people have fear at times in their life. Sometimes people say, "I'm not afraid." They don't want to. They would rather deny than reveal their fears. But you hear things like, "I'm not fearful. I'm just concerned," or I just tend to worry," or "People frighten me," or sometimes we just use the excuse and say, "Well, everyone has fears." Sometimes people say, "I just want everything to be okay." Others show fear because they can't control the situation. They say, "I can't control this situation. I was only startled." Or, "I tend to imagine the worst." Or, "I'm worried about others opinions. And we reveal fear sometimes by our eyes widening or trembling or shaking, fingernail biting. I won't ask how many of you, I won't ask to see your fingernails here this morning. Flushed face, insomnia, cold sweats, racing pulse, panic attacks or asthma, excessive insurance, peer dependence. Those are some of the ways that we reveal fear. Some Christian doctors are making the connection between fear and how it affects the respiratory system. They said that the major functions of the respiratory system are to provide oxygen to every cell in the body and to remove carbon dioxide from the blood. This amazing process takes place as we inhale clean air through the nose and mouth and exhale carbon dioxide from the lungs. As we inhale, life-giving oxygen is brought into small chambers that are surrounded by many blood vessels. The oxygen diffuses across the lung lining directly into the bloodstream, where it is carried by red blood cells throughout the body. In certain respiratory conditions, such as asthma, the transfer of oxygen is hindered by mucus production and increased airway resistance. Now, how many of you know that when God says something in the Bible, it's important? How about when He says something twice? You think it's important? What do you think if He says something, He repeats that command more than 100 times? Very important. When He says, do not fear, be not afraid, He knows that we have a tendency to be fearful, and He doesn't want us to be afraid. We tend to live in a state of fear. An obvious example of this is an employee when he's unexpectedly called into the president's office. What do you think his first response is? No doubt a sudden fear would strike through his heart. I wonder what I did wrong. What does the boss want to see me about? Why would that be the natural response other than, well, my boss must have finally noticed the good job that I do around here. And he wants to bring me to the office and pat me on the shoulder and say, well done. Maybe even give me a raise. But that's not the way we tend to think. We usually tend to think the worst, don't we? However, anyone who fears the Lord and delights greatly in His commands, the Bible says, shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. It shall not be afraid. Jesus continually had to remind His disciples, fear not. Fear not. Because their natural response was to be afraid in every unknown situation. There are a number of types of fears. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. Fear of the future. Fear of abandonment. Fear of evil. Fear of sickness or disease. Fear of death. I want you to know that each of these fears has its roots in the lies of Satan and can be overcome when we understand the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, right? You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'd like to get right into the message this morning with the first point being this. Fear is a very real problem. And I say this because I don't want you to think that I'm just going to gloss over it and say, well, just don't be afraid. I mean, that would be nice, right? If I could just say that to you. Don't have any fears. Don't worry about anything. Be not afraid and let that take care of the situation. Fear is a big problem. It hasn't always been a problem. It was a near perfect paradise that God created for Adam and Eve. Not only was everything physically perfect, but spiritually and emotionally perfect as well. There was no fear originally in the Garden of Eden. Do you realize that not only could Adam have not gotten indigestion from something he ate, he also couldn't have gotten ulcers over worrying about where his next meal was going to come from? He didn't have any fears. God took care of all of his need. But into that perfect paradise, came disobedience and sin, and with sin came the consequences of death. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. First mention of being afraid in the Bible. First mention of fear. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? So this is after they had, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit and had sinned. God says, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. I was afraid because of my disobedience, my sin. I was afraid because I was naked. And I went and hid myself. That is the first mention of the Bible of fear. And notice that it is directly related to man's sin. With sin coming into the world, there also came fear into the world. Ladies, if Adam and Eve would not have sinned, you wouldn't have to fear that mouse. Isn't that nice? You can blame Adam and Eve. Mice, rats, snakes, water, heights. Did I name your phobia? Those things that you fear came as a result of sin. We all have fears. We all have phobias. Psalm 91 describes things from which we are afraid. Noisome pestilence, the terror by night, lions, snakes, all the other kinds of things that we fear. The psalmist actually said fear was on every side. So there's so many things to be afraid of. So many fears. They surround me. They're on every side of me. Paul wrote that perilous days would come. What would happen with perilous times? I mean, who would have thought that practically every day you turn on your television or you get the news somehow and you hear of another suicide bomber? Fear is a very real problem. It is a big problem. People are afraid of losing their health, their wealth, their loved ones. Some people are afraid of life itself. A poll was taken of people's greatest fears. The top six were this: the death of a loved one, contracting a deadly or disabling disease, financial failure, nuclear war, a victim of crime, and spiders and snakes. That's interesting how spiders and snakes made it in the top six, but they did. How many of you don't like spiders? How many of you don't like snakes? How many of you don't mind either one? You guys are strange. Some humorous things have happened because of fear. On a weekend in Atlantic City, a woman won a bucketful of quarters in a slot machine. She took a break from the slots to have dinner with her husband in the hotel dining room, but first she wanted to stash the quarters back in her room. So she said to her husband, I'll be right back and then we can go eat. She carried the coin-laden bucket to the elevator, and as she was about ready to walk under the elevator, she noticed two men already on the elevator. Now, I'm just going to tell you exactly the way it says in the story, okay? One of them was black. And one of them was big, very big, an intimidating man. Now, the woman froze, and her first thought was, these guys are going to rob me. The next thought was, don't be ridiculous. They look like perfectly nice gentlemen, even if one of them was black. But still, fear got in her mind. So she stopped in front of that elevator door. She stood and she stared at the two men. She got in and the elevator door was still, of course, open. She felt anxious, flustered, and ashamed. She hoped they didn't read her mind, but they surely did. Her hesitation about joining them on the elevator was just too obvious. Her face turned red. She couldn't just stand there. So fighting her effort with all of her willpower, she did. She had gotten in the elevator. Avoiding eye contact, she turned around stiffly, faced the elevator door just as it closed. A second passed. Another second. Another. The elevator didn't move. She began to feel panic. My, she thought, I'm trapped. I'm about to be robbed. Her heart plummeted. Perspiration started pouring out of every pore. And then one of the men said, "Hit the floor." Instinct told her, "Do what they tell you to do." And so she raised up her arms, out went the bucket of coins, and down she went on the floor. "Take my money and spare me," she prayed. Seconds passed, and she heard one of the men politely say, "Ma'am, if you just tell us what floor you're going to, we will push the button." The man who said this had trouble getting the words out. He was trying to hold in a belly laugh. Both of the men each lowered a hand to help her up. Confused, she struggled to her feet. The one man said, "When I said hit the floor, I meant for the other man to hit the elevator button for the right floor. I didn't mean for you to hit the floor." The next morning, she received a dozen roses. Attached to each rose was a brand new, crisp $100 bill. There was a note that read, "Thanks for the best laugh we have had in years." And it was signed by a Hollywood actor and his bodyguard, and the actor was a comedian. There are phobias that we have, whether these fears are rightly founded or not. Am I right? We tend to think the worst. There are over 60 different phobias. We all have them. Second thing about fear is that it is contagious. Fear is contagious. Deuteronomy 28, chapter 20, verse 8. "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his own house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." See, if there's any soldiers here that are fearful, he says, "I want you to go home right now, because your fear is going to spread to everyone else." That fear is contagious. What is the words that you don't like to hear in the middle of the night? Your wife nudges you. "Are you awake?" "I wasn't, but I am now." "Did you hear that?" "Oh, man." Right away, fear. There's somebody in the house. Well, I'm thinking, if it's a mouse, I can quickly go get the trap and be back in bed in 10 minutes. But if she thinks somebody's in the house, where's the nearest club? You know, where did I leave my baseball bat? And you become fearful, don't you? And you hear every little noise after that. You know, as a pastor and a parent, I've learned that you can't just tell people not to be afraid. You have to gently lead them through their fears. And I believe that that's what God does with us. He has not abandoned us. He wants to gently lead us through our fears. And you could say a lot about conquering fear, but in the Bible, there is one thought that seems to rise above all others and just summarizes how we can conquer fear and display courage. And it is this. You conquer fear by letting the higher, positive, godly fear of the Lord conquer the lower, negative, earthly fear of man. You conquer fear by letting the higher, positive, godly fear of the Lord conquer the lower, negative, earthly fear of man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." How do you get over the fear of those who could destroy your body? It's by having a greater, a higher fear of him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. 10 times the Bible commands fear God. 32 times the Bible commands fear the Lord. Joseph wisely said, "I fear God. I fear God." Psalm 66, verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. In Exodus, we've got the story of the children of Israel trying to get out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt. And Pharaoh would promise them that they could go, and then he'd renege on his promise. I'm going to pick it up with verse 22. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time." I like that, this time. What about the other times? I've sinned this time. "The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Moses said unto him, "As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's." Verse 30. "But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not fear the Lord God." Despite all of this, I know that you will not fear the Lord God. He said, I know you're going to change your mind, because you do not fear God. The only thing that was going to make Pharaoh stop what he was doing and let the children of Israel go would be to develop a fear of the Lord. Now, so let me ask you this question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but think of it. The fear of the Lord, is that a positive thing or a negative thing? It's actually a trick question, because it depends. It depends on you. See, the fear of God is a positive that wipes out all other fears. Or it can be a negative. It can be something you view as being negative, because all you see is God bringing judgment on your life. It could cause you to rejoice over God's awesome power, or it could be a terrible, frightening fear. It depends on you. Electricity is wonderful, isn't it? But it can also be dangerous. God is a wonderful God. But don't try to find out if he's powerful in the wrong way. See, we have a plaque in our hallway that reads, "Thou God seest me." Is that positive or negative? It depends on you. It depends on me, right? If I'm living for God, the fact that God is watching me is a very positive thing. But if I'm living in violation to God's ways, and I know that he is watching, then it's a scary thing, isn't it? It depends on you. If God is not feared, he is not truly loved. Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. If God is not feared, he's not truly loved, and our life becomes filled with other fears because we don't see a truly loving God. See, I believe that whatever happens in my life, I have a loving God there to go through it with me. God loves me so much that he has my best interest at heart. And the fact that God is with me and I fear him, I trust him, then I know that I don't have to fear these other things. Does it always work? Am I saying I'm never afraid? No, I'm not saying that. But I don't know that my love of God is perfected yet. But perfect love casts out all fear. The key to conquering destructive fear and fear in all of its form is to replace that fear with the fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." In other words, he's saying there's a choice here of different fears. If you fear God, then you don't have to fear these other people. But if you fear these other people, it's because then there's something in your life that is not allowing you to fear God in the proper, in the right way. There is not in this life total absence from fear. There is either the right kind of fear or the wrong kind of fear. The right kind of fear is positive, energizing, motivating, and wrong kind of fear, though, is a potentially destructive thing. 2 Samuel 23:3 says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." You know, that used to be that in our country, everyone who held public office was either a Christian or one who was a strong believer in God. Why? Because he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Psalm 36:1 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." Do you know why a man commits a crime? Because he doesn't think anybody's watching. He thinks he can do it and he can get away with it. Fact is, God is always watching. But that's what Romans 3:18 says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." How do we perfect holiness? It's in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God is watching. What would happen if we remembered that before we let go? You know, just to remember that when we are around each other, God is there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is, he's there, he's everywhere, he's watching us, he's with us. 2 Chronicles 17:10, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so they made no war against Jehoshaphat." 2 Chronicles 19:7, "Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." There's no racial prejudice, there's no bribes with God. Psalm 19:9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." The word there has the idea of being pure. That word was used in conjunction with animal sacrifices. The sacrifices of the animals that they made to God had to be clean animals. They had to be pure animals without blemish. And when you fear God, you are bringing to God your life as a sacrifice, as a pure sacrifice to him. It is the best that you can bring. Psalm 34:11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." One of the most important things a parent can teach his child is that God is watching. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." By the way, that's why we need the Ten Commandments back on the school walls and in public places. Because it brings a fear of the Lord. They at least know what God commands of them. When Judge Moore was involved in Alabama with that court case of having the Ten Commandments on the courtroom walls on his wall, one lawyer got up and testified and said, "I just feel uncomfortable with those things there." It reminded him that God has some commands and that God is watching, and he didn't like that. Is the fear of the Lord a positive thing or a negative thing? It depends. It depends. Proverbs 1:29, "For they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord." And so the fear of the Lord is a choice that you make. It comes down to a choice. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." We talk about the fear of the Lord. What is that? What does it mean? Well, there's one meaning there. It means to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Proverbs 14:26 and 27, "And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." See, the problem that we have, the reason there's so much lawlessness in our day, is because man's laws are no longer built on God's laws. And so when they violate those laws, there is not the inward conviction. The law is not written on their hearts. Man's laws are not written there. Only God's law is written on man's heart. And sin has become rampant because we have taken God's laws and we have watered them down. to where almost anything goes. But have you ever noticed that faith in God and the fear of God is almost the same thing? I try to come up with one thing that really is different, in a message. And here I want you to think about this. Faith in God and the fear of God have a lot of similarities because both are built in the strong belief of the reality of God. You have faith because you believe God is real. You fear Him because you believe He's real. The fear of God says that since I believe in God, I can do whatever God wants me to do. And faith in God says the same thing, that because I trust in God, because I believe that God is real, I can do whatever God wants me to do. So both of those things are saying, I can do whatever God wants me to do. There's no security without the fear of God. But the fear of God sees God bigger than anyone or anything else. And this is really what it comes down to. How big is your God? How big is your God? By faith, we believe that God is big. But also, if we have a proper fear of the Lord, we believe that God is big. We know that He is big. Does God have the whole world in His hands? He's got the whole world in His hands. That is a big God. It is a big God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. I want you to notice this connection here. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. But notice this, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why were they not afraid of the king's commandment? Why were they not afraid of Pharaoh? Because their God was bigger than Pharaoh. Their God was bigger than Pharaoh. Their God was bigger than any earthly king. And so their faith and their fear of God allowed them to be able to do the will of God. There would not have been Moses if his parents had feared man more than they feared God. Could I ask you today, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are your fears? Courage is fearing God more than men. It's fulfilling the word of God despite your fear. How do you develop courage? How do you develop courage? Real quickly here. Number one, first of all, you choose to fear God. Proverbs 1:29, we read it earlier. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So the first thing that you have to do is if you want to overcome your fears is you have to choose to fear God. You have to choose to fear the Lord. Secondly, think of the consequences of fearing man instead of God. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If you have a fear of man, it's like you're putting your foot in a trap. Like you're putting your foot in a snare. And you won't be safe there. Your fears will get you. But if you put your trust in God, if you put your faith in God, you put your fear in the proper place, the Bible says, then you will be safe. But it's a choice you make. It's a choice you make. I feel fear. I feel the emotion of fear here. Am I going to give in to this fear, or am I going to see God in all of His glory and bigness and put my trust in Him? See, every time we have that emotion of fear, we make that choice. But you know that the fear of man causes you to exaggerate the negative? I mean, have you ever noticed that? If you fear God, if you don't fear God, you fear man, you fear other things. The things that you fear become bigger. They become exaggerated. When the children of Israel were going to enter into the promised land and they sent out those spies, remember that? 12 spies, 10 of them came back, gave an evil report. Only 2 of them said, we should go in because we are well able to overcome it. We can be victorious here. But the 2 spies that were negative, their fear was contagious, wasn't it? The fear was contagious. For some reason, the faith of the 2 was not contagious, but the fear of the 10 were contagious. And you know what they said? They said, you know, there are giants in the land, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. That's ridiculous. They weren't like grasshoppers. They weren't that small. But that's what fear does. Fear exaggerates the negative. Third thing. You know, by the way, if we act on the negative, we will lose great opportunities in life. Those people that listened to the 2 give the negative report and they acted on that negative report, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years where all of them died. Look at the opportunities they missed out on. They missed out on the promised land because they did not have a proper view of God. The third thing, trust and rest in the presence and sovereignty of God. You know, God is on the throne whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Doesn't matter what you feel like, God is still there. He's still on the throne. And the fourth thing is you grow courage by being brave when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it. When my wife says, I heard a noise, I don't feel like getting out of bed. Especially in the middle of winter when the house is cold. I'd rather just bury my head under the covers. If there's a boogeyman, you know, he can come find me. But you don't give in to your emotions. What did David do? David, first of all, when he was shepherding, he did battle with a lion and a bear. And he worked himself up to Goliath. And by the time he got to fighting Goliath, David did not show any fear. Because with fear, there's a hesitancy, right? It says he ran. He made haste to go to the giant. He ran right out there. He said, who are you? You defy the armies of the living God. See, he had a view of God. And he knew that God would take care of him against his enemies. And he knew that God would take care of his enemies. And so he ran out there and he says, I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air at the base of the field. And everybody standing here will know that there is a God in Israel. Get their eyes back on God, where it should be. Not on the giant, but on God. You will grow courage. God will grow courage in your life if you let him. It doesn't mean you don't have fear, but it means you don't let that fear stop you from doing what is right. Remember the story I began with the police officer giving that girl a ticket for crossing the railroad tracks with the gates down, and it's been a year later, and she's come back to the police station to thank him for what he had did. And then she's told him where she was the day before. And the police officer knew exactly what she was going to say. He knew the rest of her story. He said, because I had received news that morning that several teenagers had been killed at that crossing the previous day. Those teenagers had driven around the closed crossing gates and were hit by a train. The girl wept as she described what happened. She said, I was the first car at the crossing. Get this. I was the first car at the crossing. When a slow eastbound train cleared the crossing and the gates stayed down, I turned my wheels to go over the tracks. Then I thought to myself, I wonder if there's a cop sitting on the other side of the crossing. That's all I need, another $200 fine. So I stopped. And the girl described the car load of teenagers behind her blowing their horn to encourage her to either go over the track or get out of the way. And she explained how she motioned to them to simply go around. She looked at the policeman and said, if you had not given me that ticket, that would have been me. See, the consequences of her violating the law a year ago kept her from violating the law again this time. And it saved her life. Do you see how one fear conquered the other fear? A higher positive fear conquered a lower negative fear and saved her life. The fear, higher fear, the man who represented the law, who represented right, that fear conquered the fear of what the other teenagers in the other car might be saying, thinking, or doing. This is why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and why you have to conquer fear. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? If you fear God, then the rest of your life you can live in peace. Ladies, that mouse can't do anything to you that God won't let happen. You don't have to worry about the mouse. I don't pick up snakes. I hate snakes. But I held one. Do you remember that? We had a fear factor here at the church. And we had a snake brought in, python and a bino. And I would not have brought that thing in had I known that I was going to hold it. But here I am standing up here conducting this fear factor, and all of a sudden the lady puts that snake around my shoulders. I said, "Dear God, help me. This has to be your will, because there's no other way that I'm going to do it." I felt the muscles of that snake just tighten. But you know what? God is bigger than the snake. It was one of the most frightening moments of my life, but God was bigger than the snake. And do you fear God? And can I tell you that God is bigger than any fear that you have? He is so much bigger than any fear that you have. And if you will come to Him, say, "God, I recognize Your awesomeness. I recognize Your power. You have all power, God. There's nothing that's going to hurt me, because You're going to be here with me." And if we begin to have this awe of God, then the other fears will shrink, will become small in comparison to Him. That's how we conquer fear, is by having a right view of God, putting our faith and our trust in His ability, in His bigness, in His largeness, and then letting Him give us the courage not to run from our fears, but to face our fears head on, knowing that through Him we will conquer every fear.